presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Let me begin with this. What a night it was last night at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody for our Dog Nation spring game preview, looking ahead of this Saturday's G-Day with the great former Georgia Bulldog John Stinchcomb. So many fun Georgia fans to hang out with. Such great hospitality from our friends at Marlowe's. This was our first time being back at Marlowe's in a while, and I tell you, it was one of the most fun Marlowe's events we've had in quite some time. So for all of you who came out last night, thank you so much. For those of you who couldn't be there with us in the building, we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you at a Marlowe's event coming up really soon. That was just a really special evening. We'll have more on that a bit later on. I also want to tell you this before we kind of get rolling with the major content off the top of the show. If you will allow me to, in just a few minutes, I have what I think is going to be a really fun announcement. I'm really excited about G-Day. I'm going to give you a reason coming up in just a few minutes to be excited with me. I'll tell you about some of Dog Nation's plans on Saturday. It's going to be really fun. So give me just a couple of minutes, talk a little Georgia football here, and then I'm going to make a pretty, what I think of at least, a very fun announcement about how G-Day is going to be cool here around Dog Nation. We'll do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, something that's been on my mind a little bit over the last few days, and I was trying to remember before the show began, I think we talked about this in some form or fashion within the last couple of weeks maybe, but there's no doubt that going into year four for Kirby Smart, there is, and I use this in like the smallest font, lowercase letters possible, but there is a little bit of building pressure, especially from maybe some of the national media, some of the outside folks looking in. There is a little bit of building pressure for Kirby, who's won an SEC championship, been in the college football playoff, one of the very few teams to win a playoff game over the last 4 years, but stop just short of winning a national championship. There may be a little bit of growing pressure to go from being the coach that's been close to the coach that's actually gotten over the hump with that. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. And this actually isn't from this year. This is from last year. A guy named Brad Edwards, who you may know as one of those ESPN kind of analytical type analysts, one of those guys that talks about college football from the numbers standpoint. Last year, when he was doing a radio interview, he kind of laid it out there in no uncertain terms about what he viewed as not just an opportunity for Kirby to win a national championship, but an obligation for him to do so, and to do so soon. And this may be too harsh, but it is an example of what some of the folks are saying about Kirby. Here's ESPN's Brad Edwards.
I think Kirby needs to win a national championship in the next 2 or 3 years in order to keep this going. I'm not saying it completely falls apart if he doesn't, but right now he's benefiting from a lot of good publicity because people are making the Saban comparisons, and they're saying, look what he's done. He's come in, had a lot of success in year two. He's already tearing it up on the recruiting trail, and all that stuff through 2 years matches up. He's got to continue to recruit at that top three level every single year. But more importantly, he's got to win a national championship soon in order for those comparisons to continue.
Now, let me repeat myself for a moment. What Edwards says there, I believe, is mostly insane. And the fact that he said it a year ago makes it even more odd and bizarre. So I don't agree with Brad Edwards on this. It's kind of like that disclaimer you see on Twitter sometimes, that retweets don't always equal endorsements. That's a bit of a retweet for me from the standpoint that I'm playing the audio on the show, but it's by no means an endorsement. Because when Edwards said that, Kirby Smart, in his second year as being a head coach, had played for a national championship and had just gotten the nation's number one recruiting class for the class of 2018. And Edwards says something, he at least walks up to the line of saying, if he doesn't win a national championship in the next 3 years, this whole thing at Georgia may fall apart. And I think that's too harsh. I think that's taking it too far. But it is an example of a conversation that's out there. And we, on this show, hear this from rival fans all the time. Those of you who have a social media presence, you hear this as well. It's Georgia can't get over the hump. You know, Georgia's not going to win the big game. You know, Georgia's good. They got plenty of recruits, but they're not going to get over that final hump and win that national championship. So I don't, whatever our circumstantial evidence that we cite is, I think we all have a frame of reference for this where it's been good to be good, but now there is a bit of a push for Georgia to be great, and maybe 2019, given the fact that you've got all the depth and talent on the offensive line, you've still got the veteran starting quarterback, you may not have him in 2020, and for a lot of other reasons, that 2019 may be the year in which this pressure to win a championship is more intense than it'll ever be. Now, there is some good news on this front. If you look at the things that Kirby Smart has said over the years, Kirby Smart goes into the Georgia job eyes wide open about all of this. Kirby Smart is absolutely the first guy to tell you that if you want to be the coach of Georgia and if you want to recruit the way that I'm going to recruit, then you better believe that people are going to be talking about national championships. And the job here, the one that you're paid the millions of dollars for, is to win those championships. So let me give you also an example from the past from Kirby Smart on that. Let's go all the way back to 2017. This is after his first year on the job at the 2016 season where, let's face it, it was not very good. What was Georgia, 8-5 that year, if memory serves, when it comes to the record? Going into 2017, where most folks did not have Georgia as the SEC champion and one of the top four teams in the country. Most folks did not have that for Georgia in terms of preseason expectation, and yet Smart's expectations were just as high then as they always are, saying, at this job, the kind of stuff that I'm going to be hearing in 2019 is the kind of stuff I go into those kinds of seasons expecting to hear. Here's Kirby Smart.
As far as expectations, I know everybody wants to talk about it and ask questions about it. For me, it's important that you understand, as the head coach of the University of Georgia, I'm proud to be there, but we embrace those as the coaching staff. We embrace those as our players. When you come to the University of Georgia, the expectation is to win championships, and that is what we expect to do at the University of Georgia, and that's the standard that we'll be held to.
I know that audio quality is not great on that, but I hope you could hear that at the end when he says, if you come to Georgia, the expectation is that you win championships. I think he's saying that about the players that he's recruiting. I also think that he's saying that about himself and the coaches that he hires. That good is not good enough. That, hey, long streak of winning the East, and we like to talk around here about owning the East. We think that's the first step towards getting a lot of this kind of stuff done, but that in and of itself is not the only objective, nor really is it an objective. It's just a necessary line to cross over to get towards what the real objective is, which is getting back to the college football playoff and winning once you get there. So pretty clearly there's mounting pressure on Kirby Smart to do that. And just as clear, Kirby Smart expects those expectations to rise and meets those head on. And he goes into this season, expectations, I believe, higher for himself than people like, you know, fans and media would want to put on him. And that's for a Georgia fan really good news. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, well, why are we talking about this off the top of the program? What does this have to do with anything? Well, here's what I think it has to do with the current state of the conversation around Georgia. On a show like this, one in which we do every day, we are going to fixate on all the issues that surround Georgia football. Every moment that we're able to see during practice, whether it be the videos that we can show you that Georgia releases or the eyewitness accounts that myself or Connor Riley or Mike Griffith or Chip Towers might have, we're going to fixate on every little piece of information that comes out. And sometimes that might lead you to believe that some of Georgia's issues, some of Georgia's imperfections are bigger than they actually are because we fixate on them so much. However, I think it's also important to remember in this year where Georgia is facing mounting pressure, some degree of increased pressure to go out and win a championship, it's important to remember that Georgia is still viewed not just by the hot take artists, not just by the blowhards, but by the people who crunch the numbers and try to be as accurate as they possibly can be. Georgia is still viewed to be on the shortest of short lists when it comes to national championship favorites. I thought it was interesting yesterday that ESPN released its FPI, its Football Power Index, preseason for 2019. Now, y'all know I like this kind of stuff, and I was very interested to find out that Georgia is among the top four teams when it comes to the college football playoff. Now, you may be a little bit surprised to find out that Georgia was ranked behind Michigan. After all, Michigan would seem to be a little bit of a disappointment under Jim Harbaugh. It's not my place right now to decide if that's accurate for Michigan or not. I'm more interested, as you are, in Georgia's placement in this. Not a surprise to find the Dogs a little bit behind a little bit behind Clemson, a little bit behind Alabama, but still very much in that college football playoff conversation. In fact, here's what Seth Walder, the analytics expert for ESPN, here is what he said about that. Going back to the comparison with Michigan, he says, though Georgia, which also is bringing back a known quantity at quarterback in Jake Fromm, is a longer shot to reach the playoff than Michigan, Georgia has a better chance of actually winning the national championship. It makes sense. Most, including the FBI, would agree that the Bulldogs are better than the Wolverines, but their path to the top four is more complicated with Alabama and LSU in the same conference. Once again, that's Seth Walder from ESPN. So do with that what you will. Ranked a little bit behind Michigan in terms of making the college football playoff, but given a better chance of winning the national championship. The point is, if you've got the shortest of short lists available, Georgia is on that in terms of being a playoff contender, and I think that's really good news. And for those of us who want to fixate on, well, what's going on with the Georgia defensive line? How is Georgia going to replace DeAndre Baker? And can Georgia find that big breakout 1,000-yard receiver that we talk about a lot? We fixate on those issues, but ESPN and its numbers people who crunch all the numbers and try to, I guess, as evenly and fairly as possible, rate all the issues, say, when it's all said and done, we think Georgia's kind of just fine on all this and a big-time national championship contender, which Georgia fans have gotten used to hearing over the last couple of years. And I guess I kind of get ready to wrap up and put a bottom line on all of this. I also want to take you back to something else that Kirby Smart has said in the past, because Georgia fans have watched the 2017 class be number three on the field, and I should say number three in recruiting, the 2018 class be number one in recruiting, the 2019 class be number two in recruiting. Georgia has moved up the ranks when it comes to talent acquisition as quickly and aggressively as any program has in recent college football memory. But on that week, back when Georgia became the number one class back in 2018, Kirby Smart was asked about that. And Kirby Smart gave a message about how does it feel to be number one in recruiting that I think also resonates here for 2019 as well. Kirby Smart says, hey, you can take those recruiting rankings, and there's something pretty specific I'd be willing to trade that for. Here's what Kirby said then.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great for the fan base, but I'd trade that number one ranking for the last number one rank in the college football poll. So that's what's important is what you do on the field, and that's what we'll be measured by as coaches, what we're able to do with this class, what they're able to do in development. That's the key ingredient is what can you do with these guys nutritionally, strength and conditioning, academically, and even mentally. Mental conditioning is a big part for us. So I'm a lot more concerned with that than where how many stars they got by their name.
So the bottom line for me is simply this. There's no doubt there's a little bit of pressure growing for Georgia to get it done this season. There's no doubt that Kirby Smart embraces those expectations. But those expectations exist for a reason, because according to the math folks, Georgia really is on the short list of top teams in the country. And all this recruiting success that Kirby Smart's had over the last couple of years, you just heard Kirby say there, our goal is to take those players, develop them, and turn them into the kind of guys that can go out and beat Alabama in the SEC and then Clemson beyond that. And watching that maybe unfold in 2019 should be an awful lot of fun. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, 960 The Ref, and in podcast form wherever you find them, including the world famous DogNation.com. All right, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to let you hear from Jalen Kimber, the young man who just announced his commitment to Georgia yesterday. Great stuff with him and Jeff Sintel from our edition of Before the Hedges yesterday. Before that, though, some of you have been hanging on because you wanted to hear a big-time announcement from me. Well, I'm excited to deliver one to you right now. Could not be more proud of this. That coming up this Saturday as a part of our Dog Nation post-game coverage presented by Harris Cherokee Casinos at the UGA Bookstore immediately after the game on Saturday. How about welcoming in two great former Dogs, guys who have great insight on the current program. Natres Patrick, a linebacker from last year's team, going to be with us as a part of our post-game coverage on Saturday at the UGA Bookstore. And the terrific former Georgia wide receiver, Javon Wims, going to be on hand as well. So Natres will help us break down the defense. Javon Wims going to help us break down the offense. Two great former players, terrific analysts, guys who still very much in touch with what's going on with the Georgia program. We'll welcome them both in to our Dog Nation post-game coverage after G-Day on Saturday. So you've got another reason to come up and see us on the second floor of the UGA Bookstore for our Dog Nation post-game coverage there that day. Natres Patrick, Javon Wims, going to be with us then. In fact, coming up in just about a couple of minutes, Natres Patrick's actually going to be with us for the first time ever, at least in terms of a telephone interview, for the first time ever here today. So we'll talk some Georgia football with Natres Patrick coming up in just a couple of minutes, and get ready to set the stage for you seeing him live with us at the UGA Bookstore on Saturday. That's going to be a blast. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Georgia gets a big-time commitment yesterday from four-star defensive back Jalen Kimber. Kimber recently hung out with Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel. You can read a lot of this at DogNation.com. You probably heard this for yourself yesterday. Many of you did on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. But the one thing that Kimber wanted to be known in terms of why it was he committed to Georgia, he talks about the feeling that he got being on this campus. If you're a UGA fan, you'll like this.
That's where I felt the most comfortable at, and me and my dad felt most comfortable, and that's just the place that I really like out of all the visits that I went. I just like them the most, and I like the coaches the most.
Can you put your finger on when you knew it was Georgia?
After I left, after I took that visit, I pretty much figured that that's what I was going to like the most, and that's where I was going to go.
So that's Jalen Kimber saying, after I took that visit, that's where I felt like I wanted to go. He even went into more detail in saying that that wasn't the initial plan. His initial plan was, like a lot of recruits, he wanted to take and enjoy these official visits. But apparently the visit to Georgia was so good that no longer seemed to be something he felt like he needed to do. Here's some good stuff from Jalen Kimber.
I wanted to take multiple officials, but I didn't think that I was going to like Georgia that much. So we were going to take unofficials and then figure out where we wanted to take an official, but it didn't work like that.
Do you plan to take any other visits? What does the word commitment look like to you?
I don't plan on taking any other visits. I'm pretty much done.
I mean, listen, how much do you love that and the battles that go on with recruiting for a guy that was looking forward to taking visits but then takes a visit to Georgia that's so good, he says, you know what, I'm not sure I need to take any more of these. I really like that for Georgia. And when you think about a weekend coming up when you have a long list of elite four- and five-star prospects coming in, a lot of dog fans hope for more commitments from G-Day. Kimber setting the stage for that, greasing the wheels a bit, if you will. I think that sets the stage for the recruiting storylines around G-Day could potentially be very fun. It's Around the Doghouse, presented by Online Trading Academy. You know by now what Online Trading Academy does. They provide a terrific set of instructions on how you can make money in the markets. I'm talking about a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes. You can learn both in the classroom and online. It's the best decision you'll ever make because, let's face it, we all want more money. We want our money to work for us. And the best way to do that is to invest in yourself so you can make wise, smart decisions when it comes to your money and how you put those in the markets. That's what Online Trading Academy can do for you. So please find them online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's Trading Academy with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. And check out our friends at Online Trading Academy. All right, later on, we're going to hear a little more as we get ready for G-Day and a really cool moment where a fan base well outside Dog Nation, in fact, well outside the South, has found a reason to throw some praise Georgia fans' way. We'll tell you about that coming up in a bit as well. But here on Dog Nation Daily, it's great to have you. Hope you enjoy Nature's Patrick right now. So he was a guy that I really enjoyed covering over the last couple of years and really enjoyed watching the football field and love his insight and his perspective on things that are happening with Georgia football, and excited to see where the football career of Natres Patrick goes from here. But for now, we know this. He's going to be with us Saturday as a part of our Dog Nation postgame coverage there at the UGA bookstore. Natres, thanks for your time here, and thanks so much for being a part of Dog Nation Daily. We hope you're doing well today.
I am. Thank you guys so much for having me, man. Like I said, you guys caught me in the workout. I usually start around 10, so it's just a blessing to be able to talk to you guys today.
Well, I appreciate that, and I guess let me start with this. You know, you're an interesting guy to ask about G-Day because over the course of your career, you watched it grow. You watched it become this thing where on a typical April Saturday for G-Day, Sanford Stadium, between the hedges, it looked like a regular SEC crowd. 93,000 people there in 2016, really full crowds in 2017 and 2018. In 2018, when you think back on your time at Georgia and those G-Day memories, what comes to mind for you as a former player? How do you view the spring game?
To be honest, culturally, the spring game is looked upon as, you know what I'm saying, this is our last practice, and, you know what I'm saying? But at Georgia, Kirby kind of brought over this mindset to where, in the spring and fall camp and things like that, when we have live scrimmages, that's how you get on the field. So the special teams rep in the spring game, everything matters, from field goal all the way to first team defense, second team defense. These scrimmages is how you get on the field, because to the coaches, this is the first real live action they're going to see from you, where you're tackling and where you're being able to use the fundamentals you learn in practice in an actual setting. So it doesn't really matter that you're going against each other. This is your time to showcase, your time to try to get on the field. So, man, the spring game is looked upon as a big deal. It's a big deal.
So, for a lot of folks that are not aware, you know, this Georgia team, just like the Georgia teams you were a part of, prior to G-Day, those previous Saturdays, you have those scrimmages in Sanford Stadium. But, Natrez, you know, there's just a couple hundred people in the building other than the team going through that. On G-Day, you get the band, you get the cheerleaders, you got, you know, tens upon thousands of people. Even for a veteran player like yourself, is there a different sense of butterflies in the stomach or kind of juice, you know, gas in the tank? Is there a little bit of a different experience for you on the inside and your other players, especially the younger guys, once the stadium kind of feels like a game day atmosphere?
So I definitely say when you're younger, because when you're coming in as a freshman or, you know what I'm saying, haven't played that much and it's your first spring game as a sophomore, you're getting a little bit more playing time, just playing in front of that crowd. it's your first time playing in front of 92,000 or however many is there. So, of course, you have the butterflies in that. But once you get older, junior, senior, man, the butterflies come from the anticipation of the season, like seeing all the fans getting ready for the first game and, you know what I'm saying, getting your first lick. So the feeling kind of changed from butterflies of, wow, this crowd is so big, to butterflies of anticipation almost.
Yeah, that's really fun to think about. Your position group, the one that you know at Georgia so well, the linebacking core. You know, Nature, as I've been a Georgia fan my whole life, I don't know that it's ever been deeper than it is right now. Now, you guys have had some great players that linebacking core, but total number of potential contributors, this 2019 crop looks pretty impressive. How many of these guys have you gotten a chance to see and know, whether it be N'Kobe Dean on the inside, Davis and Marshall aren't practicing right now, Nolan Smith, Jermaine Johnson on the outside. Have you gotten a chance to see much of practice thus far this spring? I know you're working on your own, progression here, trying to get into the NFL, but have you got a chance to see this linebacker core practice much this spring? And if so, what have you thought about it?
Not much. The only practice that I've seen was like a non-padded practice, so I haven't really seen those guys in action. But it's crazy. I just talked to my position coach Schulman. I talked to him last night for like an hour, man, and we just chopped it up and talked about guys and the same issues that it's like a cycle, man. The same issues that guys have is almost it happens every year. Like the guys have the same. It's crazy. Like it's crazy to think about. But it's like a cycle, and we talked about all those young guys and how much, you know what I'm saying, because here at Georgia, like, we believe in depth. Like, depth, that's how you win games. That's how you stay fresh. That's how you keep guys from getting injured. And, you know what I'm saying, it's scary when you're able to throw people in after a drive and, you know what I'm saying, just keep coming at them with different people. Like, when you're in a game, like, most teams aren't able to do that. So, depth is key, you know what I'm saying? So, the fact that Georgia has that depth, it speaks wonders.
Well, it's also one of those things, too. You know, I've watched football my whole life, but I'm not a former player, so I don't know what you're thinking when you're on the field. But the one thing that seems obvious is that inside linebacker position especially, you've got so much to think about, right? The ball could be over your head. The ball could be in front of you. You've got to, you know, go chase down a ball carrier there. And it certainly seems like that makes the learning curve for these young guys really steep because, let's face it, at the high school level, if you're an elite athlete, for the most part, you can just get by being bigger, stronger, and faster than your competition.
Exactly.
But at Georgia, when you line up in a scrimmage or a practice situation, the other guy is just as big and just as strong and just as fast. So if you wouldn't mind, you know, I guess describe to us the best you possibly can about, for a young linebacker, even an elite athlete, the challenge of the cerebral part of this, what you have to know to be able to play a linebacker at a place like Georgia.
Right. And obviously it'll come a little easier to some guys than others. But, I mean, just like you put the work ethic in to become bigger, faster, and stronger than those other guys in high school, when you get to college, you kind of have to apply those same tactics to the books, to the playbook. You got to look at it a little extra. You got to meet a little extra. You got to go sit with coach and go over the things you don't understand. So just as much work ethic as you put in your workouts and as you put in your lifts and as you put out there on the practice field, you do the same thing in the film room and you do the same thing once you get the playbook. Like you kind of have to, just like you're strengthening yourself and your body, you kind of have to strengthen your mental too. So I'd say just extra time, man, just like anything else, extra work. Proves to be best on the field, like whether it's working out or whether it's studying. So you just have to put more time in.
You know, one of the things that Georgia's talked about a lot thus far this spring is increasing that havoc rate. Going after sacks, going after tackles for loss, defensive backs, talk about those pass breakups and things like that. You know, and part of that would seem to be going back to what happened with you guys in 2018, where it sounds like from behind the scenes, maybe Kirby was looking for a little bit more of that at the end of the year. I don't know how much you've gotten to hear of what Kirby and some of the players have said this far this spring, but what have you made of the push to be more active in the backfield and more disruptive to, you know, ball carriers with tackles for loss, sacks with quarterbacks? I'm sure as a linebacker and a defensive player yourself, you love the idea of an added emphasis for that this season.
Right. So kind of just like the theme, like we always have a theme, you know what I'm saying, like going into every year, like keep chopping and things like that. Those are all themes. So the theme I've kind of been seeing, like hearing the guys when I talk to them and seeing on Twitter and all over social media, is kind of like hashtag do more.
Yeah.
And these guys have just been everywhere, man. On spring break, they out there working out. They out there, you know what I'm saying, going so hard, you know what I'm saying, and hashtag do more. So I don't know if it's, I haven't really been in many meetings or anything like that, but I definitely do know the emphasis that Kirby is making on those loss of yardage plays.
Sure.
So I think it goes along with the theme that they've been going along with.
Let me
do more things.
Let me get one more for you, and then we'll let you get back to your workout. And obviously, we're looking forward to seeing you back on the football field again really soon here. You mentioned having a nice conversation with Glenn Schumann, who's now in kind of an expanded role. He's co-defensive coordinator now. Dan Lanning is defensive coordinator. Obviously, Mel Tucker, who has been a great coach for Georgia, moves on, gets a chance to be head coach at Colorado. We're all really excited for him about that. I guess, how excited are you to see these two guys, Lanning and Schumann, get a chance to now kind of be in control of this Georgia defense? And how is Coach Schumann enjoying this up to this point?
I'm very excited, man. One thing I can say is that Coach Schumann, he deserves it. I'm saying he puts in as much time as anyone, as much extra time as we're in there. He's trying to do the same. So if anybody deserves it, I think it's him. I think they'll do a great job. They really care, and they show it. You can definitely feel the intensity out there in practice, and they're running around and getting after guys. So I think guys will be really want to play for them, because that's half the battle, man. If your guys want to play for you, it's tough. And I think those guys wouldn't mind playing for them. So I think they'll do a great job.
Yeah, that energy is contagious, right? I mean, I don't get to see as much
exactly,
practice as
exactly.
other people do, but you know, I see Schumann. He's got those sweat clothes on, but he's got those pads.
Yeah.
And he's popping those linebackers. It makes you want to. It makes you want to. You know, go out there and play a little harder when they're coaching that hard, right?
Exactly, exactly, and that's what those guys do a great job of.
Natrez, we're so excited about having you and Javon Wims a part of our post-game coverage on Saturday at the UGA Bookstore. That is going to be a ton of fun, and we really appreciate you being a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. We'll let you get back to your workout. We know this is a big spring for you as we head towards the NFL draft and a lot of these teams looking to fill their rosters with good talent, and we know that you're right in the middle of all that. So, Natrez, congratulations on a career at Georgia. Best of luck with what's going to happen for you over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we'll look forward to talking some more football with you come Saturday as a part of our post-game coverage as well.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you guys for having me. Go Dogs.
Looking forward to that. Natrez Patrick, really good stuff from him. And I love that insight he's able to provide there when it comes to a guy that he knows well, Glenn Schumann, as the linebackers coach. One of the reasons why we like our co-defense coordinator now, one of the reasons why we like having these kinds of conversations and talking to these guys is because, you know, you heard him say, I've been on the phone with Glenn Schumann. We've been talking about this, you know, hours worth of conversation, I think you said, about what's going on. And don't you love that he says that, you know, every year it's kind of the same thing. The cycle of all this just continues over and over. And for a lot of these guys, it's about learning how to play this position. There is no doubt when you show up for a couple of minutes of practice or the videos that we've seen from guys like N'Kobe Dean and Nolan Smith, whether it be, you know, the brief moments we've seen from them maybe in these practices or certainly going back to their all-star season, their high school season, there is no doubt that they bring the athleticism to the table to play this game at a very high level. But Roquan Smith's career alone is an example of sometimes it's about more than just the physical ability. Sometimes it is about growing into a role. And for Roquan Smith, it was a very specific stage of development. In year one, as a freshman in 2015, we didn't see a major impact from Roquan Smith. We saw some brief glimpses of how it could turn into something. But we didn't see the full embodiment of what Roquan Smith would become there in that first year. In year two, as a sophomore in 2016, it was a big step forward. Memory serves, I think it was 95 tackles for Roquan in that second season. Obviously, in the third year, it's kind of like the full operation of what Roquan could bring to the table. He won the Buckus Award as the nation's top linebacker. There's no guarantee that anyone's story is going to be like someone else's, but it is an important reminder that Natrez Patrick, a guy who knows that linebacker position very well, says in talking to the guy that's coaching those linebackers that a lot of those guys are going through some of the same things we have seen from linebackers in the past. Now, what N'Kobe has an opportunity to do and what Ryan Davis and Tresman Marshall, when they're healthy again, what they'll have an opportunity to do, and what Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson playing on the outside, what they're going to have an opportunity to do is accelerate that process. There's no law that says you can't learn a little faster than somebody else did. There's no law that says you can't grow and develop really quickly, but the growth and development still has to happen. You can't really skip steps in that regard. I think that's an interesting thing to think about. And I do think it's one of the things that makes G-Day really fun. You know, over and over again, we'll talk about what it is about Saturday that we want to see. And in some form or fashion, we all eventually kind of arrive back on the same thing. We want to see those guys that we haven't seen yet. We want to see what they bring to the table. Now, I'm presuming a guy like Natris Patrick feels the same way on that. For a guy like N'Kobe Dean, who we've heard whispers about, you know, a high school coach talking about him, you know, getting some rep with the number one unit during defense. For Nolan Smith, who's gotten compliments from Kirby Smart along the way. We want to see this with our own eyes. And, yes, the defense during a spring game is typically asked to be a little bit vanilla, so you don't get to see the full power of what they bring to the table, nor will these guys get a chance to tackle quarterbacks all the way to the ground or anything like that. But you do get that glimpse. You do get that opportunity. And finding out what they bring to the table, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And I think that Natris Patrick, by the way, I know that he is on his way to trying to be an NFL guy the same way all these guys are right now. But when you listen to him talk football, and you know, I gathered this from a couple of the interviews we had with him near the end of last season. When you listen to him talk football, I think this is a guy that when that football career is done, whenever that happens to be, I think that Natris Patrick has a potential future in broadcasting here. I think that Natris Patrick can be a really interesting analyst of the game. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to be a part of, have him be a part of our Dog Nation postgame coverage. I think you're going to really like him on Saturday, and I think it's going to be fun as a part of that broadcast there at the UGA bookstore to also have Javon Wims on hand, the wide receiver, kind of former wide receiver at Georgia, kind of bringing the other part of this too. We'll break down the offensive and defensive sides of the ball with both those guys on Saturday, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So before we move on, let me remind you of a couple things. So Saturday is going to be a big day for Dog Nation. Before the game, just like before every game, we'll have our Kroger kickoff. We'll bring you coverage of the dog walk, and we'll set the stage for what's going to be a big G-Day. Jeff Sintel will be a part of that too, with all those recruits who are there in the building. Make sure you stay close to the forum at forum.dognation.com and dognation.com as well on that to try to keep up with all the whispers and the rumors that may be coming out of all that. And who knows if there's a commitment or anything like that. Obviously, Dog Nation will be all over that. And then after the game, as a part of our post-game coverage inside the UGA bookstore, we'll welcome in Natris Patrick, Javon Wims to be a part of that. And the bookstore will be open for you. So lots of great opportunities for you to get in and get some great UGA gear, especially if you need some new stuff for the spring and summer. The UGA bookstore will have you covered on that. They've also got a great crop of autograph guests as well. Maybe tomorrow we'll kind of do a whole big a look at all the autograph signings that are going on there in Athens on Saturday, too. So a lot of festivities on hand when it comes to G-Day on Saturday. Dog Nation's excited about being at the center of all of it. We'll look forward to seeing you there and be a part of that, too. We got more Dog Nation Daily coming up right now.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, here are our SEC Through. Let me take a moment to remind you that we are heading towards Easter on Sunday, and your local Atlanta Kroger is helping you get ready for that. You can fill your baskets right now with the best stuff for Easter right there at Kroger, whether it be the actual Easter basket you need, that grass that you kind of put in there, you know, that little plastic grass stuff. If you have kids, you know exactly what that is. Toys and so much more. You get all of that at your local Atlanta Kroger. You can also get 2 for $7 right now on select candies and chocolate snacks, so please make sure you check that out. Also, something else to check out right now, go find the Kroger ad at dognation.com. Right there at the very top of the page, you see the Kroger ad at dognation.com. You can find out more interesting details on what Kroger has going on getting ready for Easter. Check that out at dognation.com here today. All right, let me talk about some of the stuff happening around the SEC here for a moment as a part of our SEC Through. And there has been some drama play itself out in LSU. I think it's safe to say for a while now, Joe Oliva, who is now the former LSU athletic director, has been embattled. Now, some of this has to do with the current state of the basketball program, where Will Wade kind of got mixed up in the NCAA scandal. They were forced, I guess, forced. The truth is, I don't know what's going on with that. But they reinstated Wade as basketball coach this week. And then shortly after that, Joe Oliva announced that he was stepping down as LSU athletic director. Now, almost no one I know believes this was truly Oliva's choice. This sounds like the people in Baton Rouge just getting tired of Oliva. And I understand where that goes. He has been, I think, by far and away, now that John Curry is no longer Tennessee, the most criticized athletic director in the SEC has been Joe Oliva. But I know at times I probably view the world from a contrarian viewpoint. This may be an example of that. I am no expert on everything that Oliva has done as LSU athletic director. There may be a lot that he has done wrong. However, there is one thing about Oliva that I've always liked, and there's one thing about Oliva that I wish Georgia would copy a bit more. Do you remember a couple of years ago when weather threatened the LSU-Florida game? The game's supposed to be played in Gainesville. I thought Florida, and I know y'all think I'm a Gator hater, so maybe this is coming from a biased place, but I thought Florida was playing games with the rescheduling on that and kind of trying to have its cake and eat it too. And, you know, Joe Oliva just did not bring the spirit of cooperation into that debate, that discussion, which made him very disliked by many others in the SEC. But ultimately, it looked like he was fighting on behalf of his own school. Now, eventually, it blows up in his face because when Florida finally went to Baton Rouge to play the game, which Oliva essentially negotiated, LSU lost. But still, I kind of took it as kind of an interesting thing that Oliva was willing to fight for his own school there. I think there ought to be more instances of that in the SEC where guys kind of fight for their own program. Nonetheless, though, it looks like there were some reports from Billy Lucci from TexAgs.com that Texas A&M AD Scott Woodward was going to become the next LSU athletic director. It looks like now that's indeed going to happen. At first glance to me, this kind of seems like one of those things where why would a guy leave A&M that spends a bunch of money to go anywhere? We'll come to find out he's an LSU grad. So I guess that makes some sense. Scott Woodward apparently on his way from A&M to LSU to replace the now embattled and departed athletic director Joe Oliva. As our SEC through rolls on here, I will also point out something we mentioned off the top of the program. We're looking at that ESPN FPI data and some of the stuff that is going on with that, and the fact that apparently they've got Georgia still among the four most likely teams to make the college football playoff in 2019. But something else they pointed out was that South Carolina plays, according to the ESPN FPI, the toughest schedule in the entire country. Now, to my knowledge, and maybe I missed this, they didn't publish the raw data, right? They just did the synopsis of it. So later on, we'll see the full, you know, set of data for ESPN on this, the full list of all this. As it stands right now, they're just essentially, as we say in the business, kind of aggregating their own content by pointing out a couple of the facets of the FPI data. They haven't given the full list yet. But I did think it was interesting to hear that South Carolina plays a tougher schedule than Texas A&M, when seemingly the A&M South Carolina schedule are both pretty similar. You know, A&M plays Alabama, of course. It plays Georgia this year, and it plays Clemson. South Carolina plays the same three teams. Its crossover West game this year is Alabama. Its permanent West game is Texas A&M, and obviously finishes every season with Clemson. So the A&M schedule, the South Carolina schedule, in terms of the toughest games, and they also, I guess, play each other too, which is kind of an interesting thing. And I guess that's ultimately why the South Carolina schedule gets the nod here, because playing South Carolina isn't quite as tough as South Carolina, who has to also play Texas A&M. But the Gamecocks get the nod from FBI as having played or going to have to play the toughest schedule in the country for 2019. There was also a little bit of a, you can call it a jab, or you can just say it's objective reporting, about how weak the Clemson schedule is in comparison to the other major national championship contenders. I think 55th, somewhere around that rank, was the number on that. One thing I do know for a fact is, according to what ESPN FBI reported, what their own number tabulations indicated, is that South Carolina on paper would appear to be Clemson's toughest game. However, South Carolina, who Alabama also has to play, is only the Crimson Tide's fifth toughest game. So for those of us who've kind of banged on that ACC schedule, no one denies that Clemson's an elite team, but elite teams are helped by an easier path towards the playoff. There is a level of attrition that occurs during a season. You leave something on the field when you play a game. Clemson, by playing undermatched opponents, is going to leave less on the field than some of these other teams are. So no one denies that Clemson's elite, but it should also be undeniable that an elite team playing an easy schedule has a little bit of an extra edge in the playoff, and around here we're going to notice that kind of thing. And then finally, here's a part of our SEC through. Let me also mention this. Really good stuff from Connor Riley at DogNation.com. Looking in on the scenario with Luke Ford. We talked about this with our video audience for a good bit, that Ford has still not yet been granted his eligibility from the NCAA. He talked to one of the local sites there in Champaign-Urbana about that, and a lot of Georgia fans have kind of noticed that and sort of started a campaign to free Luke Ford. Even J.J. Holloman, the Georgia wide receiver, got involved on this bit too. And one of the Illinois fans kind of noticed this, and I saw this in Connor's piece. I wanted to show this on Dog Nation Daily. I thought this was really pretty fascinating. Matt, who's at Illini Matt on Twitter, says, "The Georgia love for free Luke Ford is honestly amazing. Sometimes love and respect transcends game day colors, and Georgia is showing the epitome of class." So a nice compliment from an Illinois fan, but the way that Georgia fans have rallied to support Luke Ford, we think that's really good stuff. And I guess we'll go ahead and make that your SEC through here as a part of Dog Nation Daily. So really fun stuff. And by the way, speaking of G-Day, we're getting ready for that on Saturday. And, of course, our spring game, spring practice coverage this entire time has been brought to you by our friends at Harris Cherokee Casinos, because when it's time to get your other game on, Harris Cherokee Casinos is what you want to think about, because they give you two great options right now. Whether it be Harris Cherokee Valley River Casino and Hotel located in Murphy, North Carolina, it's convenient to Atlanta. It offers over 300 hotel rooms. It's got slots, blackjacks, roulette, plenty of fun. Or if you're thinking about Harris Cherokee Resort, which is in Cherokee, North Carolina, it's got over 1,000 rooms. It's less than 3 hours from Atlanta. It's everything you'd expect from a world-class resort, including 3,500 games, World Series of Poker events, including one that just been kind of going on here the last few days, spa, golf, concerts, plenty of dining options. It's a world-class resort. It's a world-class casino, and it's very close right here in Atlanta. So no matter how you play or no matter what your play is, Harris Cherokee Casinos has got you covered. So go to this website, Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. The website one more time, Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. And as you head towards G-Day on Saturday, don't forget all of that spring practice coverage here on DogNation.com is presented by our friends at Harris Cherokee Casinos. Now, speaking of that, we had a great night last night at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody. It was kind of our spring game preview there. Looking forward to a fun day on Saturday. And I thought we had some great stuff coming from that from our buddy John Stinchcomb. John is a terrific former Georgia player. And, you know, one of the things I like about John, I like about Nate Trespatrick, you know, in addition to their status as former players, they're not just guys that kind of live up some ivory tower somewhere. They are guys who also are still big fans of the program. They love Georgia, and John is proud of what G-Day has become. And John's a big believer that Saturday, while it may not be the most crucial football you'll see play between the hedges, it is still a ton of fun. And he set the stage last night for why it's going to be fun for everybody on Saturday. And if you weren't ready for G-Day before, you'll be ready after John says this.
It's the first time you get to run between the hedges with a G on your helmet and 70,000 plus screaming your name. So that experience, one that's relatively new. I mean, back in the day, G-Day would have a few thousand, lucky to break, you know, 10,000, 15,000. That was kind of standard.
Yeah.
Now the expectation is most of that stadium is going to be full, and it's Easter weekend. That's not slowing these dog fans down. So for that first time for that young player to run out between the hedges, the crowd is on your side, and you don't have the anxiety of it doesn't quite count yet. It's one of those feelings that you've been looking forward to for the past couple years, and you finally get to do it.
I love how John says, hey, it's all the sort of trappings of a game, but it's not the same level of if you mess up, things are going to be really bad because it's not a real game quite yet. And it's kind of funny, Nate Trespatrick said a very similar thing. For a lot of the young players, they get a chance to experience butterflies without the negative ramifications that can come from making a blunder in an SEC game. This is a dress rehearsal for that. So it's kind of funny to hear Natrez, who was just playing last year, kind of say something very similar to something a guy like John Stinchcomb, who had his last year at Georgia back in 2002. They both have a very similar perspective on this. Something else that John also said last night is, you know, you still never quite get over the marvel that it is just how much G-Day's grown over the last couple of years. And John credits Kirby Smart for a lot of that. Here's what he said.
I think there's a couple things it speaks to. Number one is Kirby asked and the Bulldog Nation answered.
Yeah.
He said, I want 93,000 people. And they said, all right, done. We'll show up for a glorified spring practice that he's made an event. And it's one microcosm of a much bigger picture. Look at recruits now. And we talked about this earlier today, that there's a number of guys that are nationally recruited five-star, four-star athletes that are going to be in Sanford Stadium and experience what some stadiums can't hold on a normal week.
That's
so
right.
To have that atmosphere created is a testament to Kirby's commitment to a much bigger picture.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and Kirby has been, you know, big picture thinking, things growing and being bigger than we've ever imagined them being. That's really been kind of a hallmark for the Kirby Smart era at Georgia thus far, and kind of a theme of the direction that he's pushed Georgia. You're used to seeing 40, maybe 50,000 people for a spring game. What if it's 93? I joked last night that at one point in time, I wouldn't have thought that was a possibility for Georgia, and yet it became a reality in 2016. And lots of lots of realities that I could not have imagined pre-Kirby seem very possible right now. So he deserves a lot of credit for that, and we'll give it to him here on Dog Nation Daily. Something else we'll give out here is our Gatorator Updater. We are big believers that the biggest rival that Georgia has is Florida, and we love the back and forth between these two fan bases the last couple of days. We just think that's fun, especially when the Dogs are on top the way they are right now. 901 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We love watching that number go up, and we'll continue to climb right here on Dog Nation Daily.